Unit 2. An interview with the health and safety coordinator of a construction business.
When thinking of noise, do you think of your workplace? If you're lucky, then hopefully not. But there are people who come across excessive noise every day at work. Worrying statistics show that more than 1 million employees in Great Britain are exposed to levels of noise in their workplace that put their hearing at risk. The louder the noise, the more damage it can cause, and may even cause long-term damage. Fortunately, there is advice which can prevent damage from noise, and it's important to consider this as a real workplace risk. I want to welcome Mr. Martin McShane, Health and Safety Coordinator of a famous British construction company. Mr. McShane, what are the main risks of noise exposure over a long period of time?
Good afternoon. Well, a lot of us are exposed to noise in the workplace every day, especially construction workers who are surrounded by loud equipment all day long. Noise exposure over a long period of time can cause hearing loss. Those working in noisy environments, like in factories, on roadworks or at airports, and those working with power tools or heavy machinery are very much at risk. Undoubtedly, we can say that of all workplaces, the highest risk is in the construction business. We need to recognise what makes noise in a workplace dangerous and decide what can be done to prevent long-term damage.
So what do employers have to do?
It is the duty of the employer to ensure that all efforts have been made to protect staff from noise in the workplace, according to the General Health and Safety Legislation, which applies to all employers and workplaces.
What steps does an employer have to follow to protect staff?
It is important to control the duration of affected employees' exposure to noise by changing processes. Moreover, we need to provide personal protective equipment, PPE, and information and training to educate the workforce about the dangers and required precautions. Finally, it is essential to regularly monitor the effectiveness of the measures.
What can be done to make this process a substantial one?
Once a noise assessment has been completed, this should not just be filed away, never to be seen again. The noise assessment is the start of the process, not the end. It should be used to assist the employer to carry out their duties to prevent noise-induced hearing loss among their employees.
How can this be achieved? What are good practices to reduce and eliminate sources of noise?
There are many ways to reduce noise levels. These may include using quieter pieces of equipment, isolating vibrating machinery, adding sound-absorbing material to vibrating panels, positioning noisy machinery away from workers, limiting access by keeping people out of noisy areas, limiting time spent in noisy areas. Moreover, where noise exposure is really high, employers must provide hearing protection to everyone and ensure it is used. Identify hearing protection zones with signs to show where hearing protection must be worn. Provide information, instruction, and training on how to use and maintain hearing protection.
Office workers are encouraged to have eyesight checks if they use display screen equipment regularly at work. What do you suggest regarding hearing checks?
Good question. Of course, hearing checks are another important and useful measure that has to be taken. For me, however, it's vital that hearing checks are conducted by a competent person. The interval between hearing checks should be dependent on a number of factors, including the level of risk and whether the previous checks showed that hearing loss is evident.
Thank you very much for the interview, Mr. McShane.
Pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.